Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Arvind Smart Spaces Limited Q3 and 9-month FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today on the call Mr. Kamal Singhal, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Ankit Jain, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Avinash Suresh, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Prakash Makwana, CS, and Mr. Vikram Rajput, Head, Investor Relations. Please note that a copy of disclosure is available on the investor section of the website of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited, as well as on stock exchanges. Please do note that anything said on this call which reflects the outlook towards the future, which could be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamal Singhal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. A very warm welcome to everyone present on this call. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the operating and financial performance of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited for the third quarter and 9 months ending December 2022. I would like to begin by sharing my thoughts on real estate environment and broad highlights of the quarter. We can then look forward to taking your questions and suggestions. As everyone is aware, the housing cycle has turned positive post-COVID, and we expect this residential demand to remain unabated. The residential real estate sector ended 2022 on a very high note, as the sales in top 8 cities surged to a 9-year high. Several reports have indicated that launches exceeded sales for the first time in the last 9 years, which was basically aided by robust demand and low inventory. Further, real estate prices across markets have appreciated generally in the range of 4%-7% year-on-year, and this performance is noteworthy because of 225 basis point increase in repo rates, which we witnessed during this period. While affordability metrics have subdued in the wake of rising mortgage rates and the home prices, it still remains better than pre-COVID levels, and we believe that the situation is still comfortable given the long-term pent-up demand which exists in the market. The consolidation and corporatization of the real estate sector and the theme thereof has played out, as was envisaged by us and many other leading players. This year, launches made a comeback in a big way, with several developers successfully launching fresh inventory, enabling greater choice for customers. Many developers have experienced record quarterly sales, and we believe that listed real estate players like Arvind Smart Spaces, with very strong balance sheet, diversifying geographical presence, and an established brand, will continue to outperform the overall market. Coming to our quarterly performance, we have achieved significant operational milestones in Q3. It's been one of the best quarters in terms of both booking, fresh bookings and collections. Q3 bookings grew by 58% year-on-year to rupees 250 crores, and Q3 collections increased by 8% year-on-year to rupees 167 crores. This highlights a strong operation cycle of new sales, construction and delivery. Our robust sales machinery and brand equity is getting increasing recognition across Ahmedabad, Bangalore, with launches continuing to perform well in newer micro markets. We have put in concerted efforts to strengthen our Bangalore operations and are happy with the way Bangalore story is shaping up. During the quarter, we launched Arvind Greatlands at Devanahalli, Bangalore, which received a phenomenal response, with almost the entire launch inventory getting sold out within 10 hours of its launch. In the coming quarters, we are looking forward to launch Sarjapur and Greatlands Phase 2 in Bangalore, which will deepen our presence in this key region. We have added 7 acres to Dodlapur Road project. The size of the project has increased to 34 acres now, with a top line of around 315 crores. This project is under SDFC Platform 2. There is a potential opportunity to increase the size of this project significantly by 2x, subject to technical and other due diligences. We are happy to share the acquisition of our 16th project in Ahmedabad. We commenced a large aggregation in South Ahmedabad of which 84 acres has been completed till date, with an estimated top line of 150 crores. This would be wholly owned project by Arvind Smart Spaces. This location has emerged as one of the promising micro markets for plotted development in Ahmedabad, being home to several large plotted villas and villa men developments. The micro market is in the close proximity to various industrial hubs such as Changodar and Bawla. There is a potential to increase the size of this project by 2 to 3x subject to technical due diligences. Moving on from operational updates to the financial highlights. In 9 months, we reported a revenue of 163 crores, up 71% on a year-on-year basis. And EBITDA for the 9 months grew by 6% to 29 crores. PAT for 9 months grew 47% to 16 crores. In Q3, we reported a revenue of 53 crores, up 23% year-on-year basis. And EBITDA for Q3 stood at 9 crores and PAT at 4 crores. Our balance sheet position remains strong. Despite increased investment in business development activities, our net debt has decreased further to minus 34 crores on account of significant increase in internal accruals. To sum up, the real estate sector continues to showcase buoyancy with all parameters, including sales, launches, and price appreciating across the top cities in year 22. We have built a very strong, sustainable foundation for the company with a meaningful focus on design and execution, efficient sales engine, rising brand salience, and a healthy balance sheet. We remain committed to our growth initiatives and are geared to capitalize on consolidation and corporatization of the industry. In the coming years, we look forward to build on our business development intensity in our core markets of Bangalore and Ahmedabad, and will further add things in Pune and MMR markets to create a very long-term value for all our stakeholders. Before I conclude, I would like to bring attention to the sector's wish list from the upcoming budget. We do expect a few things to be further initiated by the governments through the budget. Real estate sector, as we all know, contributes very, very significantly to the GDP of the economy. We would like to see budget 2023 provide more incentives to real estate sectors and make it easier for developers to access capital, improve project viability, and overall affordability. Interventions by the government to regulate the rising input costs, especially the core materials, would be a welcome move. It will decrease construction costs and enable developers to build homes more economically. Some of the incentives for first and second time home buyers would also be welcome. And they are kind of long overdue, because last several years such extra incentives have not been provided, and it's always good to see such initiatives coming in. On that note, I'll conclude my opening remarks and would like to ask the moderator to open the line for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Amit Agarwal from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats for a good set of numbers. My first question is primarily on the margins. What I'm noticing is the margins annually also, as you've shown in the presentation, have come off in FY22 and supported in FY23 also. It's around about 18% compared to higher margins we got earlier. So any particular reason for declining these margins, and can we take this as a regular margin going ahead, or do you expect the margins to increase? My question number two is that while the sales value has definitely increased, what I noticed was the sales volume was only about 0.7 million square feet, as against higher sales volume, you know, compared to earlier times. So just wondering, any particular reason for volume to, you know, kind of come off a little bit, maybe quarter on quarter basis?
Sure, I'll request Ankit, who's our CFO, to take this question.
Hi Amit, thank you for the question. With respect to margin, the accounting margins are based on revenue recognition, as we all know, and not based on the bookings which we are doing, the way we CR, fresh bookings, fresh sales. So the revenue recognition for the current quarter and for the current year-to-date numbers are broadly concentrated towards two projects, where one is a low-margin project, which is Avishkar, and second is Oasis, where we had a specific interest cost capitalization, which was coming in. And that is how you see in a nine-month number, overall, while EBITDA margin, EBITDA growth in absolute is only 6%. However, the PAT growth is reasonably in line with the top line. Another reason for lower margin is the base has been set up for a next level, which is, say, 600 to 800 to 1,000 crores of the company. While the revenue recognition is happening for the old 4-year-old projects, which is coming in right now, so the base, the expenditure, which is we are not able to, as per accounting, we are not able to, you know, capitalize on the sales and promotion expenditure, which goes for revenue of around close to 600 to 800 to 1,000 crores of fresh bookings. Because you look at fresh booking is 250 crores, while the top line in financials is only 50 crores. So hence, the expenditure which is happening for a fresh booking, that needs to be expensed off as per accounting principles, and hence the margins become lower.
So essentially two reasons. I mean, how I read this is that one is a natural variation of profitability from project to project, and because accounting standard is such that the sales booking, the way it comes and enters into the books of account, is a little inconsistent. On an average basis, the good news is that our margins are protected and we are fairly on track on that. From quarter to quarter, season to season, it might vary, but I think we'll end up doing very, very similar averages as we have been doing in the past. That's one. The other, obviously, the reason, as Ankit just explained, is that, you know, in a growing company and in a hyper-growth kind of a phase where you are selling much more than what you are recording in the books of account, so long as this situation persists, then your selling expenditures are basically disproportionate to the numbers of the top line that you are showing. You are spending on a 600 to 800 crore rupee level of sales, and you are booking only maybe less than half of that in the books of account, and hence margins look a little low. But once this cycle is stabilized and we have a little more reasonable base to compare numbers with, I'm sure this will get tapered out. Of course, there will be always some lag in these two numbers, but I think we are into a situation where the lag is a little too much in terms of percentages, a little too skewed, and this should get adjusted over a period of time. So these two are the major reasons. We are not only worried about the margins per se. In the medium to long term, I think we are fairly okay on the margins as we've been reporting in the past.
So can I, on this point itself, can I assume that going forward, when this situation normalizes, your margin should be around about 20 to 25% on a normalized basis? Can I assume that? Can we take that?
Yeah, very comfortably between 20 to 25%. In fact, we keep analyzing these numbers for the fresh sales that we do. And if you were to draw that MIS for ourselves, I think we'll be very comfortable beyond 20 to 23% and more like 25%. And this 18% obviously is a fluctuation that you see from quarter to quarter. But the range that you said is fairly comfortable as far as overall averages are concerned.
Okay. And the reason for the, you know, sales volume down to 0.7 million square feet?
And yeah, so if you look at the quarter on quarter, the growth is there, 14%. We had 0.64 and this quarter we are at 0.73. And if you were to look at it from year to date point of view, it has gone from 2.08 million to 2.44, which is a 17% growth. So generally speaking, volumes have gone up by 14 and 17% respectively for the quarter and for year to date numbers.
Okay, and the average realizations moved up. One last question, average realizations moved up. Is it because the change in mix, you're booking more from Bangalore rather than Ahmedabad, where pricing might be a bit lower? Is that correct?
So I will just put a note of caution here on the average realizations. The portfolio that we have currently is so very diverse, from weekend homes which are in the outskirts and comparatively very cheap. Cheap doesn't mean that they are not profitable. Maybe in terms of percentage, they might even be more profitable than the more expensive ones. But the diversity is so much that depending on what we sell during a quarter, the averages might change, especially because we've got a comparatively larger portfolio of horizontal projects, and in horizontal projects, We sell things between 6,000 rupees to 30,000 rupees, for example, in Bangalore. So this variability is natural. It doesn't indicate any specific trend of price realization, etc. One will have to analyze project-wise, and that kind of analysis needs to be done to understand the price movement. But generally, on an average basis, it will not be very prudent to draw any conclusion. But for the sake of clarity, we have increased prices in most of the projects in the last couple of quarters, and general increase has been in the region of double digits and thereabouts.
Sure. I have some more, but I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Bajrang Kumar Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for the great set of numbers in terms of pre-sales and the collections. My first question pertains to the overall environment, because of late there are multiple reports which are buzzing on round that interest cost has gone up from 6.5% to 9% for the housing loans, and this could put pressure on the overall sales environment of the industry. And multiple media reports are suggesting that some of the larger players are showing signs of slowdown in terms of their sales and collections. So I know that Arvind is still an emerging company has got a lot of opportunities to tap, and the market size is very minuscule in the micro markets where we are operating. So can you just share your analysis or your thought process on this movement of interest rates and the demand that we are witnessing going ahead? I don't want to hear Greatland, because that's a success story which we are aware, but broadly in other projects, how are we seeing the demand environment panning out for us? That will be my first question, sir.
We are very optimistic. We've seen some amazing numbers and performances, not only by us, but also by several of our industry peers. And what we've also seen is that the depth and the breadth of this rally or this momentum has been absolutely great, unparalleled. In fact, in my experience, more than a decade, we haven't seen a cycle like this with such great depth. One great thing about this cycle has been that it is primarily driven by end consumption. Investors are broadly out of the market. Investors as in the large investors who could potentially buy a 50 apartment block or 100 apartment block. Those are not the kind of guys who are buying all through this period. What we see is the first home buyers or the second home buyers, which are dominating this entire momentum. And when that happens, it is comparatively more sustainable, and that's what we see, and that's how we see this. Now, obviously, every great run will have some sort of a tapering, which will come and which will go. And we are also seeing maybe small signs of things not happening with that kind of a madness that we were seeing in the last few quarters. But in our understanding, it is a great momentum still. It is still very, very sustainable. Whatever we have been launching, we've had some 3 or 4 launches in the last few quarters, and in fact, 2 very recently, and both of them have just flown off the shelf. Some very, very great response. End of the day, markets and the cycles are one part of it. The second part will always remain that there is a baseline demand which is there for the industry. And then what matters is your product, what matters is your location, what matters is your offering, what matters is your pricing, what matters is your brand, etc., 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 and execution track record, so to say. So I think, within this, what we have been talking for the last few quarters is that there is a clear shift in favor of organized players in the industry, and that consolidation is playing out. So I think we had this kind of a conversation in one of the previous calls where we said that even if the market was to slow down, the shift in itself, if the 100 becomes only 105 as a total pie, which otherwise was hoped to be 120, for example, which is a great reduction in the momentum, but still within that 105 pie, a good percentage or quantum of volumes is shifting from unorganized players to organized players, the corporate players. That trend is very, very clearly visible. that trend is very, it has played out, as I said in the opening remarks, and we are very confident that even that bit of the churn or the reshifting of or the realignment of supplies is good enough for players like us who are very, very small, so to say, in the micro markets and the broader markets that we are operating in, and with a very strong brand and execution track record, etc. So we are not overly worried. We are not too aggressive about anything. We are taking every step one at a time. Every micro market is being treated very, very specifically in the way it should be treated. And hence, even if the cycles were to be a little on the lower side, we are not overly worried. But of course, you have to do all these things right, your pricing, your costing, your execution, etc., etc. So, I mean, so far, so good. Things are looking pretty sustainable. And we are confident that the kind of capabilities we are investing in, we are building the last few quarters, I think we are in the right direction, and it's time us to build the pipeline rather. Worry today shouldn't be how fast and how good we can sell. I think the worry for this company is how fast we can create the pipeline, and our energies are focused on building that pipeline first and then taking up the challenge of sales. By the way, sales has not been a great challenge in any case, but we are in any case investing upfront in our sales engine through various ways. So not overly worried really.
Okay, got it. And sir, if we try to see the numbers, 250 crores pre-sales, if we remove Greatland, then the base number is just closer to, 60 crores only. So how are we seeing, moving into Q4 and the next financial year, the kind of pipeline that we created, including Sarjapur and Doblapur and, Greatland 2, which is going to come, and eventually the Ahmedabad. So can we expect, this year to end, let's say, closer to 800 crore plus going by the run rate of last three quarters, and maybe some odd 25-30% kind of growth in next financial year, maybe closer to 1000 crore plus pre-sales. So just if you could highlight with some broader pipeline numbers will be really helpful, sir.
Good. That's a very, very good point that you raised, Bachang. As you very well said, that there is an orientation in the numbers and one project has taken lion's share. But, with the project portfolio getting diversified gradually for this company with a small base to start with a couple of years back, I think we are getting fairly diversified in terms of contributions coming from various geographies, various projects, various product categories, etc. And that is truly getting played out now. We've got luxury, we've got mid-price, we've got horizontal, we've got large villas, we've got small villas, we've got large plots, we've got golf, we've got non-golf. Within this, there are dynamics which are getting played out. And the good news is that it's all getting balanced out. For example, last year as a whole, we sold around 600 crores of fresh sales. And this year, by the end of this 9 months, we have done more than 550, maybe 558 to be more precise in my understanding. So all in all, it is a good momentum. Sustainable sale has to play its own role. By the same time, it is important for us to keep launching one or two projects every quarter, for the period as a whole going forward. And this number has to go up substantially. So in a growing cycle, contribution of new launches has to keep going up. That's what we are seeing now. This year has panned out like that. And if you were able to launch a couple of more projects in next one or two quarters, the same trend is expected to be witnessed even further. So all in all, within these variabilities, sustenance and this will make sense together, and we should be able to record a healthy growth. We have been telling that our idea and our track record is to grow by 25-30% year on year. That's what we have been achieving. 9 months are showing the same trend, if you really see. And we are hoping that a very similar trend should be there for all of us to see when we end the year in general sense. And that's what the trajectory is, and that's what we are trying to achieve.
Okay. Good to know that, sir. Any other big pipeline that you could sound, apart from that, what has been disclosed in where you are targeting, maybe in Bengaluru or Ahmedabad, apart from the Sarjapur and the new, this 84 records that you acquired in South Ahmedabad. So any big pipeline, to move into, a broader trajectory going ahead?
As I said, the whole, energies are focused towards acquiring new projects, extending the pipeline. I think it will be better for us to announce and declare the concrete details once they are absolutely formed up. We definitely are at advanced stages of a few things, both in Ahmedabad and Bangalore, and these are reasonably sized and scaled things, and we'll definitely come back to you at the earliest possible time. We've added at least one project in Ahmedabad in the last quarter, some 84 odd acres of plotting development. It's a small one, but good thing about this project is that it can be scaled up very drastically. It can be 2 to 3x what it is today, and that's what we are doing right now. So we're not in a hurry to launch this. We'll take a little more time to consolidate the overall area per se and then launch the project. But similar projects and even built-up projects in Bangalore, we are all looking at all these possibilities. And very soon we should be able to come back to you and tell more concrete information on what we are building.
Great. And thank you very much, sir, and wish all the best for your
project. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bipla Deb Burma from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on the great set of numbers. Truly commendable. And my first question is on your platform with HDFC, that platform of 900 crore till third quarter, how much has been deployed? And by when the entire 900 crore you expect to deploy?
Sure. So, as you know, there were two platforms. One was already deployed and that investment is now up and running. Greatland is the project under the first one. So that's over. Platform two, as you said, 900 crores. Out of this 900 crores, across four projects, we've already committed 300 crores. From this 300 crores, maybe actual outflow, because we always get payment terms, etc., linked to the project that we acquire, 150 and little more than that has already been paid in terms of cash flows. And that basically means a little less than 800 crores of top line is already kind of locked in. So this is where we are. This quarter should be a good quarter in terms of further deployment of the platform money. We have the same fine microscopic view of every project that we take, both in terms of its viability, its affordability, and its margin profile. And hopefully we should be able to ramp up the deployment in the coming months. But as we speak, 300 crores committed already, which gives a little less than 800 crores of top line, and 150 crore rupee outflow has already happened.
Okay. And which are these four projects?
So this is in platform two, it's Fruits of Life, Dorblapur project, and South Ahmedabad project.
Okay. So these three together, four projects.
Basically, if you really see, Greatland, sorry, was basically platform one. Fruits of Life and Dorblapur are the two additional projects which have so far seen action on platform two. So we can actually restrict ourselves to these two for the time being, which adds up to 300 crores and little less than 800 crores of top line. So two projects are already done under the platform two.
Okay. And South Ahmedabad is also on platform.
South Ahmedabad right now is Arvind's own project. We will have to take a final view on whether or not it should be falling under platform. That's always an option, an opportunity. But depending upon various other dynamics, we can decide on that, and we have flexibility on that to a certain extent. But yeah, project is already frozen, and we have started doing things on that and progress on that, but we'll see whether we should be putting that into the platform or not. But two of them, Fruits of Life and Dorblapur, are already put on the platform and disbursements have happened.
Okay, sir. Thank you. My second question is on the projects, upcoming projects, Sarjapur, Dorblapur, and North Bangalore, etc. Just trying to understand at what stages are these projects. And by when we expect these projects to be launched? Some ballpark timeline, if you could give us.
So Sarjapur, obviously all efforts are there to launch within this quarter before we end the financial year, and that gives a fillip to a lot of other things as well. although it's a little tight, but right now we are all putting all efforts to launch it within this quarter. Let's see. Hopefully it happens. If it doesn't happen, maybe we are a couple of weeks here and there. That's about it. We are at the very last stages of approvals. Plans are all there, and we are waiting for the second stage of approval of the project. And obviously, then we'll be left with the RERA approval. And if that happens, and that starts as a process in the first week of February, by before end of February, we get RERA approvals, and then we launch. That's how the bar chart shows us at this point in time, but obviously it can go a little here and there. The rest of the projects, one is North Bangalore and Great Lane 2, which is Dormilapura. This is happening in phases. We are about to launch phase two of Great Lanes at this point in time. We've just about to get approval for phase two, maybe within a day or two, and then it goes into RERA, and then we launch this. So with this, the phase one and phase two of Great Lanes are over, and then we take up the next project. Because it's very similar vicinity, unless we launch phase two of Great Lanes, there is no point in launching this one. But anyway, this phase is also under various stages of approvals, and I think it should take around 2 to 3 months from now to get the approvals done. So, best case scenario is that in first quarter, this project should be launched.
So we have Sarjapur in the fourth quarter, we expect, and Dormilapur, sorry, the Great Lanes phase two in the first quarter of FY 2022-23. These are the
Great Lanes phase two will happen in fourth quarter for sure. I mean, it's about to be.
Okay. And Dormilapur in North Bangalore in first quarter. Is that
correct? Correct. 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 Yeah, broadly, yes. Broadly, yes.
My third question is on, you see, I have been noticing that most of the projects are either, plotted development or kind of villa kind of projects, horizontal projects predominantly. And, sir, is there any, I mean, is it what is happening in the market that demand for this kind of projects are more than the vertical, or you are just focusing on this horizontal kind of plotted development or villa kind of projects, and maybe later up you'll touch the mass housing. So I'm just trying to understand this product, you choosing this kind of product. What is the reason behind it? Is it a conscious decision, or do you just happen to get this kind of projects that has better potential in
Sure.
plotted or villas? So just trying to understand what is your strategy on this regarding product.
Yeah, I understand your question. So the answer is that we don't have any specific preference to either of the two. I mean, we have been doing quite a few vertical projects, which are anything between 12 floors to 22 floors, and that remains one of the most important product segment for us. Although post-COVID, it has so happened that there has been a very strong preference, consumer preference towards horizontal, and people started investing in such projects much more significantly and heavily as compared to what was happening before that. We had spotted this trend a little early, and that's why a very significant proportion of our overall investments went into horizontal projects in the last 4 to 6 quarters, and that has yielded us very, very decent kind of dividends. So it was an opportunity, and we realized it. We quickly cashed on it. We sourced land pretty quickly, got it ready for conversion and sales, etc., and that's how things panned out. But doesn't mean that vertical is less important to us. I think eventually when the dust settles and everything else settles, we will have equal proportion of horizontal and verticals coming our way. Right now, we are looking very aggressively at verticals once again. We have been doing that all through in any case, but it so happened that horizontals was making much more sense in terms of margins and, in other parameters, and hence we got a little more oriented towards that. But all in the long term and the medium term, we should be doing both in almost equal proportion when it comes to the product mix part of it. And by the way, within horizontal and vertical, we have various sub-segments. We are also kind of balancing the portfolio on those factors. For example, within horizontal, we've got small plotting, big plotting, farmhouses, golf-centric plotting. In villas, we've got small villas, which is costing around 1 crore. We've got villas which are much more expensive than that. In fact, Sarjapura will be something in between where a villa should cost a little less than 2 crores to 2.5 crores and thereabouts. So basically, an alternative to vertical house of 3 to 4 BHK house is something like 1.5 crores, 1.75 crores in Bangalore today. And that's what we will offer in the form of a villa where you own your sky, you own your earth, etc. And offer a very, very important, very good value for the consumer. So within these two broad categories also, we are diversifying. We are already very diversified. But all in all, we'll have a very healthy mix of both these vertical and horizontal products.
Thank you, sir. I'll come back in with you.
Sure.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ritvik Sheth from OneUp Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. So I just had one question. What is the expected initial investment in the pipeline over the next one year on the 5 projects that we have mentioned in the slide?
You are talking about the overall investment or only in this 5?
No, only in this 5, the initial investment which you have mentioned on the pipeline.
Just give me a second. I'll just, if you can just take this one. Just give me a second.
Sure.
See, overall, we do not give project-specific outlay per se. But however, if you were to add total commitment, as Kaulay mentioned, which is nothing but Great Lands and the Fruits of Life, Dudh Ballapur, South Ahmedabad project. So all in all put together, including the potential which we aspire to, it comes to around 500 crores of investment.
Okay, okay. And what would be the ideal time frame for us to launch these projects? Because I believe that if we add up the, what we are expecting at Dudhlabar and South Ahmedabad, which you have mentioned 2-3x potential from already that we have acquired. You know, what would be the ideal time frame for these to get launched? Would FY24 and be a reasonable estimate for us to launch?
So Dudh Ballapur, for example, is just like Great Lands, where we have again from 27 acres we have moved up to 34 acres. It's a reasonable size to get launched and probably might get launched in 3 to 6 months of time.
I think broadly speaking, all these 4 to 5 projects should be getting launched with a reasonable inventory, opening inventory, getting opened up for sales within next 3 to 6 months time. So whatever we are reading right now, across all these 4 or 5 projects, everything should be hitting the market in next 3 to 6 months time. Couple of them could come earlier also, but broadly speaking, this is the timeline. On an average basis, 4 to 5 months, but from the range point of view, 3 to 6 months, everything should be hitting the market.
Sure, sure. Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kirti Jain from Canara HSBC. Please go ahead. Kirti Jain, can you please unmute your line? Since there is no response, we'll move on to the next question from the line of Akshay Kothari from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand on a blended basis, what would be our payment structure or payment milestone which we would be receiving?
On the customers, you're saying? For the sales that we do? Okay. I mean, obviously, this is very clearly dependent upon the kind of project and the product we sell. A typical plotting project will have a payment terms of around 15 months. Our typical villa project will have something like 30 months, 25 to 30 months. And a typical apartment project, a high-rise apartment, which might range from 14 floors within 36 months. Could I answer your question?
Yeah, that answers my question. So it generally depends on the development, right?
Yeah, correct.
I actually came across some of the unorganized players. What they are actually doing is offering SIPs in Ahmedabad region only. They are offering some 7,000-8,000 rupee SIP, and they are transferring ownership of over a period of 5 years in the plotted segment. So in the plotted segment, you mentioned ours is only 15 months.
On the higher side, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's good.
So I'm sure, I mean, SIP in a plotting scheme, land is a product where you don't need to have very long payment terms. And generally, we haven't faced any problem realizing our money within this 15 months period. And that's what we've been doing over and over again.
But the bankers are able to, take care of the payment schedule which we have offered to the customer, and they are honoring those commitments.
Yeah, even banks are now funding very comfortably. There was a time a few years back that the banks wanted much more stringent norms on releasing payments if it was to be bank-funded property, essentially the plot. But now banks are also pretty, I mean, I think almost all the banks are fairly flexible. They've accepted very well and this product as a category, and they are very comfortable disbursing the entire money between 12 and 13 and 14 months. And that's why we say 15 is on the outer side, and we're very comfortable on this.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from the line of Kirti Jain from Canara HSBC. Please go ahead.
So can you hear me?
It is not audible. Can you use your handset, please?
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. My question, sir, is with regard to the land addition capex for next 1 year. What is the target which you have kept in our mind in terms of the land addition capex?
So as we just discussed, we have a 900 crores of platform, out of which around 300 crore is committed. In fact, the actual cash outflow is only 150 crore, but assuming that 300 crore will go in the projects that we've already committed, we are left with 600 crores of additional cash flow from the platform itself. On top of that, we should also have around 200 to 300 crore rupees of debt coming our way, and internal accruals. So all in all, 600 plus 200 and add couple of hundred crores from internal accruals, etc. I think we are looking at something like a 800 to 1000 crore rupee of capex over and above what is already committed.
Okay, sir, have we identified projects, sir? Are we closer to sign up?
Of course, it's a process, and it means a long pipeline. Basically working on that. The whole focus of the company is to build that pipeline. We are pretty aggressive on that, and the pipeline is under obviously expansion. We should be able to invest this kind of money in the coming months for sure.
Yes, sir. Because what we have seen, sir, the addition of the new projects are broadly in line with the sales. We haven't seen any non-linear project addition. So that's why my question came, sir. Are we facing any challenges in new land acquisition or any legal headaches? So what are the challenges you are facing, sir?
So you are right the gap between the fresh sales and new additions has to go up. And that is what is required, and that's what we are busy doing these days. You will see some action happening in next couple of months, 3 months time, and we are very confident that you will have a very visible gap getting created between the two very soon. So that's where we are today. There are no specific challenges to mention, but I think we come from a position that we have a little finer microscope through which every project has to go through. We don't want to add projects just to add top line. We have to have a very rational mix of projects which make sense in terms of not only top line but also bottom line. It can be a healthy mix of JD, JVs and outright. We are doing all the three. But having said that, last 3 to 4 months and 6 months of hard work is now becoming quite evident in terms of some of the results and visibility that we have internally for the pipeline that we are trying to build. And we should be able to start showing the reasons and component of this pipeline very soon, and you'll see this delta coming in.
That's very good to hear, sir. Congratulations and my best wishes, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Faisal Hawa from H.G. Hawa & Company. Please go ahead.
So would I be making the right statement that in the Vilas construction and development, we would be having the highest ROCE and ROE? And are we definitely focused on, you know, improving our ROE in the year 2023-2024? Because ROE and ROCE has always been the bugbear of most real estate companies, and there are, you know, very few which are able to even post ROCE or ROE, which is in the late teens. So is there this focus on this area and our equity with HDFC, has this been like a focus area or an area of discussion with them before they infused investment equity in our company?
Yeah. So, I'll take this up. See, Vilas per se, Vilas development, are very profitable as compared to a high-rise, typical high-rise. So naturally, the return portion is already taken care of with a disproportionate return as compared to a vertical high-rise. Secondly, the capital employed portion. So with the platform coming into our portfolio, the return on equity has already been optimized to a great extent, because finally, the deployment of capital from our side is very, very minimal from an equity stake point of view.
So I think with the kind of product mix and the structuring that we are doing over and over again, and the kind of focus we have on low equity, so to say, I think on ROE, we should be fairly comfortable, and we'll rather be leading most of the peers on that. That's what we are aiming, and I think we are healthier out there on this parameter. Having said that, we also are aware of the fact that while increasing ROE through joint development basis, where you know, your capital deployment is thinner comparatively, we don't want to get into a situation where we do a lot of volume, and in the process, add a lot of contingent liabilities to execute and take up those kind of volumes in terms of construction, et cetera, and not adding corresponding proportionate and rational and logical bottom line for yourself. So we definitely would like to balance the two in a way that not only ROE gets optimized, which is the top priority for us and which is the top preference for us, and that's what we have been doing. But at the same time, we are also mindful of the fact that we are not taking undue risk, which are hidden risk, in a situation where ROEs become too high, but then the contingent liabilities, as we said, of execution, are disproportionately high. So on a balanced side, we will do both, and of course, we should be doing pretty good on ROE front. And we have been doing that, by the way, in the past as well.
So would you be able to give a number to the ROE for the year 2023-24? And sir, as far as Ahmedabad is concerned, do you see any kind of a, you know, an early signal like this being an, this being like, you know, Bangalore, which was like, you know, 1.5 decades back, you know, with the GIFT City coming back, coming into the play, and, you know, there being talk of even the, Ahmedabad hosting the Olympics. So, you know, this could be like a big, you know, change, a game changer for our company. And that's one. And sir, can you give a number to what our present value of land bank would be?
So first, I mean, just to take three different questions that you raised, one about Ahmedabad market per se. Of course, Ahmedabad has seen a great action, and there are triggers like GIFT City. GIFT City has been there for several years and rather, you know, for a very, very long time. But I think it's at that inflection point now where things are happening on ground, and a lot of developers have now started showing interest, and there is some genuine absorption of space which has happened. And obviously, this is boosting the overall market and there are new age industries, big tech, etc., which is coming in that area and setting up shops there. So this is great in terms of real estate as a sector. There is definitely a little speculative, but nevertheless, it's not unfounded. There is a new boost, which is always talked about in Ahmedabad, which is potential hosting of Olympics. I mean, of course, this is becoming one of those talking points in the real estate sector, which is boosting the market a lot. And I hope that this momentum continues and things happen on that front. Right now, of course, there is an element of speculation out there. But generally speaking, Ahmedabad as a market is very, very robust. Demand has been fairly consistent. Market is showing depth, and consumers have shown that they are willing to invest. They are willing to spend money in real estate, on real estate, as compared to any other asset class. And that preference is pretty strong. So we see Ahmedabad shaping up pretty well. We can't say that it will be as great, as big as a Bangalore. Of course, Bangalore had several very, very powerful engines, including IT, etc., etc. Maybe Ahmedabad doesn't have it of those proportions. But directionally speaking, yes, Ahmedabad seems to be getting into a trajectory which is very different from what it used to be in the last 5 to 10 years.
I'll take up the other question.
Sure.
So, per se, a typical ROE is computed basis the P&L return. But in real estate, unfortunately, the P&L may not reflect the rhythm on the ground. And hence, we internally track more on a MIS basis or more on a pre-sales basis rather than simply tracking only on a financial numbers. So we are already in double digit, so to say, and definitely we are going to improve as we move along, because the focus on the new BD is more on profitability. Just besides, it is not just, as Kamal bhai mentioned, just adding a top line and volume numbers. That is not the target. The target is to improve the profitability.
By the way, you know, one very important point, and it could be relevant to everybody present here. You know, a 1,000 crore rupee investment can give you a top line of 10,000 crores, 5,000 crores or a 3,000 crores. But what is equally important is what is the bottom line that each of these numbers can give. A 3,000 crores can give almost the same or better bottom line than a 5,000 crores or even a 8,000 crores or a 10,000 crores. So what we always, when we do, for example, horizontal, and if the mix of horizontal improves, or increases comparatively because of the market dynamics, preferences in the medium term, it basically means that you might actually end up earning more EBITDA, etc., and the margins, etc., on 3,000 crores than you would have otherwise done at 5,000 crores. In fact, this Q, you could see in our numbers already that we've invested almost like 300 crores, which is giving a top line of just about 900 crores, 800 crores. But I think we are very confident that this 900 crore rupees of top line will give us much more in terms of bottom line, EBITDA, PAT, etc., as compared to what we would have done in a vertical strategy if we were to invest this 300 crores coincidentally into a vertical product mix. Although it doesn't mean that we are undermining vertical, again, to keep saying the same thing over and over again. But you know, if we have a very sharp focus on ROE and margins, etc., product mix plays a lot of role, and that's where your agility, your flexibility, your adoption, your spotting of early trends, etc., are very relevant. And we intend to keep doing that repeatedly and hence improve our returns, etc.
To answer your last question on land bank, we do not bank on any lands. As you can see in the presentation, everything which has been acquired or which is in the definitive stage has already been disclosed and part of yet to be launched items.
So the idea is to acquire land, not for creating a land bank. Its idea is to hit the market the fastest possible manner, the quickest and the earliest possible manner. That is why whatever we have purchased, pretty much everything is either on the verge of getting launched or it is already launched and hit the market and sold or sold well already. So, I mean, for us, it's about converting land into finished goods at the earliest possible time profitably, and that's how we want to scale up. There are no land banks per se in the company. Everything is pretty much on track, either launched or on the verge of getting launched.
Mr. Hawa? Mr. Faisal Hawa, does that answer your question?
Thanks a lot for answering my question so well.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rahil Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Just wanted to ask about your view on the cash flows and the launches, like in general, over the next 1 to 3 years. Are we expecting to have a lot on our books, adding new projects, launches, or are we going to continue working on the current ones mentioned in the presentation? And what was the second part is, what was the land area sold this quarter, just if I missed earlier? Thank you.
So when it comes to launches, of course, we'll keep launching newer and newer projects. I mean, just a month back, we just calculated that, you know, in the new projects, we would be investing anything between 800 to 1,000 crores in the next 12 odd months. And if the average investment size is something like 100 crores at a location, that will mean that we should be launching 8 to 10 projects in a year in the next 4 quarters. So that's where we are on the new launches. Of course, that can be further boosted by getting into joint developments where the capital requirements are comparatively smaller. So that answers the first part of the question. Really was the other question?
The second ask is the quarterly volume numbers. I think that is there in the presentation slide. You can go through slide number 12, which explains that there is close to 730,000 square feet which has been sold during the quarter.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Biplab Deba Barma from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So I have two small questions. One is, you are doing very well in Ahmedabad and have spread your footprints in Bangalore too. I think there's a 13th or 14th projects, 13 or 14 projects altogether in Bangalore so far. And just trying to understand this, in 9 months, FY23, what would be the share of Bangalore and Ahmedabad? And going forward, how do you see, these two markets contributing your sales booking?
So, I mean, I think in the medium term, we would rather be looking at something like 40% each from Ahmedabad and Bangalore. And 20% in the initial periods from MMR and Pune market. Of course, these are new markets and we are trying to get a foothold there. But there's a team in place and there are energies being devoted out there for Pune and MMR. And we should be able to start few things there in the coming months. But generally speaking, medium to long term, it's supposed to be 40-40-20, broadly speaking. And as we speak now,
so for the 9 month period, it is 58% share is from Bangalore and remaining broadly is from Ahmedabad.
Oh, so Bangalore is contributing more.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir, 58%.
60% thereabouts, 58% to be more precise, is coming from Bangalore. And the rest broadly is coming from Ahmedabad, barring some very small numbers coming from Pune.
So Bangalore is contributing significantly now.
Currently, yes, but generally you could say that we are basically operating at 50-50 right now. In the long term, this ratio will be more like 40-40 and 20, 40% each from Bangalore and Ahmedabad and 20-odd% from MMR in the medium term. MMR possibly once we get a foothold and we are comfortable out there, maybe it can increase further, but in the medium term, that's how it should be.
So, which part of MMR you are looking at? Because my understanding is it is 20%. And that to Pune and MMR. So MMR footprint would be small. That means it would be some, in terms of top end potential, it would be some 2,000. It would be more of a few hundred crores. So which part of MMR are you targeting or would be looking at? Yeah?
So obviously we will be, I mean, Pune apart, we'll be in MMR, we'll be in the suburbs. It will be more like a Thane and markets like that, more like a Kandivili, Daisar and you know those kind of micro markets. So if you were to just sum it up in the sense of pricing, maybe we'll be more comfortable operating in markets which are more like 15,000 to 20,000 and we're not really very focused on something like a 50,000 to 1 lakh rupee market. So we're very clear that we want to do in Mumbai, MMR, etc., what we do in Bangalore, although the scales are different in terms of price absorption. So what sells in Bangalore for 1.5 crores, maybe it is 2.5 in Mumbai, and that's why the pricing from on a carpet area basis, what is 10,000 to 11,000 rupees in Bangalore could be a 15,000 to 20,000 rupees in Mumbai. So that's how we would rather prioritize and focus on suburbs. 15,000 to 20,000 rupees on a carpet area basis is the segment that we are targeting, and I just mentioned you the kind of micro market that we are focusing on.
And when it comes to sort of Bangalore business development, we have been seeing uptick and everybody is selling, which is good for the real estate sector. And it looks like logically the expectation of the landowner or your JDA partner should go up, which means valuation of land should go up. So are we seeing, because everybody is selling, everybody would have cash flow, net cash flow, free cash flow that they want to deploy to grow further. So in terms of, business development, do you see any...
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Neha Verma, can you speak louder, please?
In this current upcycle, do you see valuation expectation from the landowners going up significantly compared to, say, 2-3 years ago? So that is the question. So how easy or difficult?
Understand your question. So of course, I mean, in a bull cycle, in a cycle where everybody knows that the markets are doing great and there are players who are wanting to expand, naturally, landlords also are aware of the situation and they will expect more. And hence, it should mean land getting a little more expensive. But, that has always been the case. I mean, one might say that this is happening more right now, but the situation is always like that. I mean, for example, in a market like Ahmedabad, landlords are pretty rich. They are not desperate. They are not in a hurry to sell. And they are moneyed people in general sense. And hence, they've got tremendous amount of holding power. And that's why, I mean, trading apart, they would always like to optimize their returns and sell when they feel it's good to sell for them. So that's always been the case. I think this is where a branded player or a corporate player can do better. In a land deal, which are very high value, dependability of the buyer, the credibility of the buyer, and the capability of the buyer in terms of actually closing the deal within the time frame with the kind of cash flows and strength of balance sheet are equally important to the buyers. Buyers on one hand want more price, but they are also smarter now in terms of understanding who can close the deal and who might not be able to close the deal, who could come up and honor the promises and who could not. And hence there is a tilt and a twist in favor of corporate organized players there, and that's an opportunity actually we see. Similar is the case with deals on JD basis. People know that a player who has a track record has a much more possibility of performing as per expectations of both the partners, and hence better deals are actually going to branded players and corporate players. To that extent, despite competition in general sense heating up and prices in general sense heating up, but when it comes to comparative advantages and disadvantages, I think corporate and regular, and the formalized players still stand a great chance of getting some very viable projects and options out there.
So basically, in terms of supply, in terms of doing a deal, and in terms of supply as well as in demand, in terms of selling the product and in terms of acquiring the projects, the consolidation happening in both space, both in
absolutely,
terms of selling and as well as
absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's understandable, sir. And my final question is on the. What percentage, because your products are predominantly into horizontal products. So what percentage of your sales booking overall, say last 1 year or 9 months or so, what would have availed home loans?
Home loans is a percentage of overall sales. Very high, right?
Very high. It will depend on, again, project type.
Yeah.
So all the high rises will have at least 70-80% will be home loans back.
I mean, this is a data which is not often available. I mean, it's not readily available with us right now. But as Ankit said, in a vertical project, it's as high as 70-80% in most of the projects. And in a horizontal project, maybe the ratios will be more like a 30%, one third of the total things that we are selling. But we can come back to you with more precise data.
No, I'm just trying to ascertain what kind of buyers are these, those predominantly who buy this plotted development and villas. So my guess is right, there are the home loan percentage of people who avail home loan in those kind of products will be less. So that is 30-40%.
Yes, you are right.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have our last question from the line of Akshay Kothari from Envision Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again, sir. So pardon me for my ignorance, but I'm a little bit new to this industry. So just wanted to know whether the plotting development which we do, is it on the agricultural land and then we convert it to NA?
No. We would convert the land first, then the plans are getting approved, and then you can start setting. So it's the other way around actually. And by plotting, you mean, basically we mean some very, very high quality, high class, world class infrastructure with concrete roads and pavement, etc., etc., with some very, very beautifully planned and laid out large clubhouses of 40, 50, 60,000 square feet and even 1 lakh square feet in a couple of cases. So these are very, very amenitized and very high end specified projects and infrastructure that we're talking about. But land is to be converted first, approved subsequently, and then sold.
Okay. So because we are at a natural disadvantage, because apart from the brand name, which Arvind is pulling, because other smaller players generally who are domiciled in a particular state and who have that farmer registration, they would be at an advantage, right?
In general sense, yes, but a great development which has happened in the last 1.5 years, 2 years in Bangalore is that this is no more required. As a company, we can buy land directly from the farmers, develop and sell. So this restriction is there. So in one of the largest and the biggest potential market for us, which is Bangalore, this hindrance is already removed. And when it comes to Ahmedabad, we have devised mechanisms and systems where we contract lands, wherein the aggregators take responsibility of buying the land, converting, and then under an agreement selling to us for development. So, of course, there is a circuitous route when it comes to Ahmedabad, but still doable, and we've been doing it for very, very large tracts of land parcels over and over again. And in Bangalore, fortunately, this hindrance is not existing now.
Okay. That's great. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kamal Singhal for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of the management, thank you everybody for participating in the earning call of Arvind Smart Spaces and for your continued support. I hope we have been able to address most of your queries. However, if we have missed out on any of your questions, kindly reach out to Vikram and he will connect with you offline. Looking forward to interacting with everyone in the next quarter soon. Thank you. Thanks a lot for your participation. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.